For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan with Fesco, Mac, and some other guy. We'll get into the evolution that's moving forward for ESPN and the NBA in about 15 minutes. Because when Bob comes to Mac and I and says he wants to talk NBA, we have to clean our ears out and say, excuse me?
Excuse me, what? What did you just say?
Yeah.
But I think it's a topic that appeals to literally every sports fan out there.
Sure, so it does.
It's going to be fun to kind of discuss the association, if you will.
Okay. Monday's loss or the loss can always be better than a win sometimes, not always, but it can be, as we are now with our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe. Big show tonight for you, buddy.
Yeah, did you just put the pressure on me to make Chiefs fans believe that because I'm going to be so good today that it's actually good they lost to the Bills?
Because right.
I don't know that I can live up to that. I'll try, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
It will be. It's an uphill battle for all of us. But like that loss yesterday, it was so funny because I look at this kind of as a generational loss. My kids, this team sucks. Me, I'm like, eh, we'll see you next week. You know, like I think more fans have kind of come over to my side where I said the regular season really doesn't matter. It's all about what you do in January. And I think the Chiefs set up Buffalo perfectly to embarrass them in January yesterday.
Yeah, and it's hilarious because I think we've talked about this a time or two over the last several weeks, just because this standard that you just mentioned there is so alien to any of us 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, to be in this headspace of like, oh yeah, no, we'll just see in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, the Chiefs will figure it out. I think what you can take from a loss like this is the same thing you can take, frankly, from a regular season win, which is a clue as to what the team will look like in January and what these matchups can give you. And I do think we learned some things that way.
I think also, too, Andy Reid does a great job of kind of okey-doking the opposition into showing their hand and then going, okay, this is what you're going to do. And then when the playoff game rolls around, this is how they're going to counteract it. Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to beat the spy. They're going to find a way to contain Josh Allen. Like, all the stuff that went wrong in this game will not be going wrong in January when they meet up.
The only one of those that I'm particularly worried about that I think maybe is what happens when the pass rush only sends four. But even that, I have a little bit of optimism because Charles Omenihu should be back relatively shortly. I'm hoping we see more from Joshua Uche shortly. He was out there a decent amount yesterday. I haven't seen the snap count for him yet. But he was not making any real impacts, nor was George Karloftis, nor was Mike Dana. So I think that's the thing that we saw yesterday that I'm most worried about, because a lot of the other stuff I do think can evolve over the next half of the season. Again, remember, this is essentially the halfway point of the year for the Chiefs. They were never going undefeated. That was never even a consideration for me. I don't think they needed to be thinking about that in late December, early January anyway. If you want another silver lining, maybe just getting that out of the picture is not a horrible thing. But I do think the Chiefs showed some legitimate flaws yesterday, and I still think that they should probably be the favorite in the AFC.
Josh Uche, 5 defensive snaps, played 7% of the
really?
Game. Yeah.
Wow, that's... I think that might be lower than last week. Then I saw him take a real long kind of looping stunt at one point, and then I think maybe he dropped into coverage once. I was like, oh, Uche's out there. Mm-hmm. And then I frankly didn't see him very often after that. So, okay, well, my eyes did not deceive me.
Yeah. The Worthy Mahomes thing, what's the percentage on Worthy? What's the percentage on Pat? Because I think we can all, for the first time, I think in my... following of this team in this town, we can put a little blame towards 15. I think that's okay to do every once in a while now that we've seen him enough. But what's the percentage from Josh Briscoe on Worthy Mahomes in the connection?
I think it depends on if you want to adjust for the people involved, right? If you have perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time and a rookie wide receiver, then in that instance, I might make it even more to the Mahomes side of that equation. Also, though, Xavier Worthy, who is now, he's a rookie, but he's also an NFL wide receiver now, and you want an NFL wide receiver to make that catch. So I'm really very near that 50-50 line, which is kind of funny because 2 weeks ago, the sideline walkout that Worthy had, that was that was really on him. I mean, that's just poor awareness, even though Mahomes probably could have helped out there a little bit too. That one's like 95% worthy. And then the miss last week out of bounds was totally on Mahomes. He left that ball totally uncatchable. Maybe you can say it caught some wind or something in the air. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, that one has blame to go around. Mahomes could have put that ball in a much better spot because there was no pressure around Xavier Worthy there. He was alone. He could have made it easier on his rookie. Worthy could have also, like, done Mahomes a favor by dragging that foot at the right mm-hmm. time. So I really do think that's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I think you could place the blame on either one. But I think if you ask Mahomes, he's going to say, I want that throw back. I'm going to lead him a little bit more, put that in a better spot. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have a touchdown there and maybe we have a different, you know, style of ball game, you know, at that point in time. So, but I think a lot of it too, though, Josh, has to do with, like, it's just not the left tackle. Like, this offensive line just has to play better as a collective unit.
Yeah, and I'm going to be really interested to get to go through the tape from yesterday and watch that again, because there was a couple of moments where Mahomes, I felt like, was throwing off his back foot when he probably didn't actually have to. Mm-hmm. And you've had some of those games now where the interior's maybe been a little bit underwhelming compared to, again, the standard that we measure them against. I didn't think Wanye Morris ever got, like, baptized yesterday, but there was a lot of duress. And another thing where I think that is a legitimate takeaway from this game, both for what the Chiefs gave up and for what they couldn't get for themselves, the big plays, the explosives. You know, we've talked about success rate and how consistent this Chiefs offense has been. Mm-hmm. And Kareem Hunt had a perfectly fine rushing day yesterday, and Andy Reid after the game said he felt like he probably could have called a couple more runs when it was all said and done. But when you have an offensive line that you are losing faith in, and I think Mahomes has really had a fluctuation of faith in his offensive line over the last couple seasons in particular, it's harder to hunt for those big plays, which is why it hurts even more when you miss one with Worthy. And Buffalo was able to just sort of dial it back. And I guess not dial it back, but kind of cock back and unload some of these deep shots to Amari Cooper early in the game that make you go, oh, well, this actually could be an even worse day at the office than we were fearing. Ultimately, it's the first time the Chiefs defense has given up 30 points since the Super Bowl against the Eagles, right? Like, that's an outrageous stat. I don't even think that was in a horrific game for the Chiefs defense for what it's worth. I think it exposed issues at every depth of the defense, and I think you saw issues at just about every depth of the offense too.
How many issues do you think were exposed versus how vanilla maybe they were on the defensive side yesterday?
I don't know if they were vanilla. They were weird, and I don't know. I guess it sort of depends on what Spags' intention was there, but they could not get pressure with four. They could not get pressure when they weren't blitzing. That's a very real issue. Again, hopefully Aminihou and maybe even Uche can bring a little bit of an adjustment there. This linebacker core does not have a lot of speed. Leo Chanel, obviously a tremendous athlete, but he's not like your agile sideline-to-sideline guy. Tranquil maybe lost half a step. Bolton's never been that guy, so I think that's legitimate. And then the second cornerback position, I think I was pretty optimistic post Jalen Watson's injury, thinking, well, you know, Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo deserve your trust here, and I still believe that on some level. The thing I may have underrated at corner is when you have two guys out there that you're not super excited to have on the field in coverage, being on the outside Nazi Johnson and in the slot largely Shamari Connor, then you do give quarterbacks two options, and you've got two guys to kind of protect yourself from on your own team. So I think that's an issue too. I might be a little bit more bullish on them figuring that out, but that was a rough performance for, I think, Nazi Johnson and Shamari Connor, even given the pick earlier on.
I know you said you haven't really gone back and watching, you know, the certain plays per plays, but what did they do so well against Kelce yesterday to only have two catches for 8 yards?
A lot of man coverage, and it was happening against Hopkins as well. Obviously, Kelce's stat line is crazy. My deputy editor over at Chiefs on SI, Jordan Foote, made the point yesterday that Travis Kelce was the Chiefs' third receiving tight end yesterday. Mm-hmm. That he was also behind Peyton Hendershot in the box score. And that's a troubling thing. So I think it was a lot of man coverage that's the one thing that really, for Kelce and Hopkins and Juju, that's the thing that you would rather see zone for all three of those guys, kind of those veterans that can separate with their brain a little bit as opposed to separating with breakaway speed. I think that's the main thing. I'll be interested to see, like, how high of a percentage of the time Kelce was getting an extra set of eyes on him, but the fact that they were able to do that to Hopkins and Kelce, and even to a lesser extent to Juju, he was basically shut. I had one catch for 8 yards. I'm not as worried about it because the offense doesn't run through Juju anymore, but being able to hold all three of those guys down is a little bit concerning, and I wonder if Mahomes is going to have a few things on tape that he'd like to have back too. I didn't see him getting open a lot, though.
What do you think Pacheco is going to bring back to this offense?
hopefully another excuse for Andy Reid to run the ball in relatively obvious situations. Like, I am always historically a throw the ball more guy, but the way the Chiefs offense has been working, and also Kareem Hunt, 14 carries yesterday, still almost all of what the Chiefs did on the ground. I think you have him and Pacheco being able to split that workload. It should hopefully extend both of their shelf lives. It should hopefully keep both of them fresher into the playoffs. And then there's a little bit more juice that Pacheco can bring, a little more speed. Not that he's a breakaway fast guy, but he has a gear that Hunt doesn't have. But Hunt has vision and balance that Pacheco doesn't have. So I think it's a really, really nice 1-2 punch. I'm excited to see it come together. I don't need to see it in Carolina for what it's worth, but it sounds like Pacheco's probably pretty close to ready to go. So I think there's a good chance we do see him against the Panthers.
He's our Chiefs contributor from SI.com. Mr. Briscoe, what do you got going on tonight for your show here on 96.5 The Fan?
We'll have Matt Verderam on the show from SI.com, and we'll talk about all of these things plus a little more. I'm going to go back through, comb through the film, fellas, and we're going to talk a little more about Xavier Worthy, the fact that Kingsley Suamataia was a healthy scratch yesterday is an interesting subplot for the rest of the season, and then a little more on each of those issues where I think there were some things exposed on both sides of the ball. I'm also not exactly in panic mode. I've seen this Chiefs team lose a regular season game before.
And they're going to win against Carolina 20-7.
You think they're going to get to 20? I think that's great, Dusty. I take that right now.
You're taking 17-3?
I think 17 to like 8, maybe. I don't know how the Panthers get 8.
It'd be like 5. 17-5.
Yeah, one field goal in the safety seems good. Yeah, I think there's a self-inflicted wound there that just gives the Panthers 2 points. And we'll have a really sort of nihilistic conversation on Monday, I think. Right. The Chiefs-Panthers matter? No, guys, it never matters.
All right, well, stay dry and have a good show tonight.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
No doubt about it. I hope they run up the score against Carolina and get gas points at Hy-Vee. You score 40 points, that's a 40-cent per gallon savings, so I'm going for 40.
Better believe it. Josh Briscoe, 17 SI.com, our Chiefs contributor. Coming up on the other side, Bob wants to talk the NBA. I will 1,000% allow it. You listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in, 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, getting ready to be Mac Man Bun Morey. I don't know if you saw this or not during the interview with Josh Briscoe.
I like the Man Bun, not going to lie. Big fan. Go for it.
He was stroking it back, checking himself out in the mirror to see if he had any. He goes, we're almost there, Dusty. We're almost there.
Go for it. I wish I could have the locks like that.
Speaking of going for it, the NBA and ESPN, they're going to have their show come along. Oh, look at Grayson wearing the Allen jersey. Look at that guy. Good for him.
Smart. Good for him. Peacock around, John. That's we'll see you in January.
Exactly. Yeah, the TNT team is not going to Peacock. They're going to ESPN.
Yeah, which is good for NBA fans, because everybody's worried when the NBA left TNT what was going to happen to, you know, Charles and Ernie and, you know, all those guys, and they're all going to ESPN. The whole crew is moving over to ESPN, and the thing that I like about this, a couple of things I like about it. Number one, it keeps the best pregame show alive, you know. It's just a great television show. You don't have to be an NBA fan like myself to enjoy that show. They just do such a great job with it. The number one thing that they had kind of talked about was all the crew members losing their job once this thing went away. They're all going to be there. It's going to be a TNT produced show that's going to be on ESPN. And so it's very much like the Pat McAfee show is on ESPN. They're not employees of ESPN. They have their own show that ESPN is televising, and that's going to be the same thing with the Inside the NBA show on TNT. These folks are going to still be employees of TNT, so they can say whatever the hell they want. They're not governed by ESPN, which I like. I like the fact that ESPN now is going to have two shows with outspoken cast members, if you will, that aren't afraid to take shots at ESPN. I think it's kind of good. They're not drinking the company juice over there at ESPN, and they're putting on a show that everybody really truly loves. And so you think to yourself, what's in it for TNT? Like, what are they getting out of it? Well, they essentially traded the rights to this show to ESPN for, are you ready for this? What they traded? Remember, Al Michaels was traded for the original Mickey Mouse. That's how NBC or ABC got the Mickey Mouse back, as they traded Al Michaels for him. The NBA media rights settlement in college sports will see 13 football games a year move from ESPN streaming to linear TV on TNT and TBS. What 13 football games? The Big 12. TNT
Colorado.
Is getting TNT is getting 13 Big 12 football games and 15 men's basketball games in exchange for Ernie, Charles, Kenny the Jet, and Shaq.
And they are all coming back, or do we know?
Oh, yeah, they're all back. They're all back. Yep. Oh, yeah. All coming
back.
That's
awesome. Because if one of them decides to opt out, that show's ruined.
Yeah. They'll all remain TNT employees, and they'll be available for other TNT projects because there's talk about launching a sports talk show on TNT called like an inside sports type program beyond the NBA, and it's going to be including those guys as well. So the show's going to be on ESPN. They're not working for ESPN. And in return, Turner TNT gets 13 Big 12 football games and 15 Big 12 basketball games.
If they give Kenny Smith his own show, they just call it nothing but Jet.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. Who do you think's more entertaining, Charles Barkley or Pat McAfee?
Charles Barkley, I think.
I think so, too.
I think because I still think he's more well-known than Pat McAfee. Even though I think Pat McAfee is one of the best commentators of sports in the country today, I think Charles Barkley is still better known.
Mm.
So Inside the NBA won't air as frequently on ESPN, and they're going to do like the big games, All-Star, Christmas, playoffs, and games throughout the year. So that's wild, man.
So we'll get less Inside the NBA. Okay, gotcha. But it'll still be there. They'll still do the game. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It'll still be there. You'll get less beginning 25-26. This is the last year.
Gotcha.
But,
okay.
But ESPN is, from what I understand, I was talking to some folks, with the ESPN the other day, and like they've coveted this guy, Charles Barkley. You may be familiar with him. they've coveted him forever. So now they've got Charles Barkley and Pat McAfee, arguably the two most polarizing, entertaining, fun commentators in sports, right? And they don't have to pay either, really, because Turner's picking up that salary. Now, they are paying McAfee like $17 million a year for the rights to his show, but he doesn't have to abide by any rules. That's why he attacks ESPN the way that he does.
So, big night in the NBA. Who are you watching?
Tonight? Mm-hmm. Who's playing?
Oh, man. Who's not playing? No, you have a lot of games. You have Sixers and Heat. Could be a decent game. Probably not. Houston and Milwaukee, Orlando and Phoenix, Atlanta, Sacramento, and then the late game is Golden State and the Clippers.
I actually watched the Manning cast tonight. They're going to have Bill Belichick on. Gaffigan.
That is the Manning cast lineup tonight?
Yeah, Gaffigan, Belichick, and there was a third person. It escapes me right
now.
Maybe
I need to give Jim Gaffigan another chance.
You don't like what happened?
I didn't say I didn't like him. I just haven't really given him my full attention.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, I think he's hilarious.
He is hilarious. Yeah. I love him. I think he's great.
Like Theo Von, it went from one clip to over and over and over to stand up bits to all this stuff. I just never really gave, I guess, Gaffigan a chance. Need to check him out. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Beyonce is going to be the halftime performer of the Thanksgiving game.
Right.
The halftime.
At Houston.
Houston.
Yeah, the Houston game.
Houston game.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch that.
Is there a halftime performance for the Black Friday game?
Yes. No, I have no idea. Just ways to get deals on Amazon crap.
Yeah, which I love.
Probably have a discount code or something.
They'll have a QR in the corner the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, get all your shopping done there while you're watching a Chiefs game.
That as well, right? Yeah.
Do you guys still get those? Do you guys have wives or a fiance and a wife? Do they still hit you with the, I'd really love this?
Oh, J.J. Watt's the third guest tonight on the Manning
Cast. Perfect.
Nice.
Love that.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was the only AFC North team to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, Cleveland is just all but done.
Yeah, we get them on Thursday Night Football.
Let's be honest. They're fun to watch.
Oh, it's fun. It's shot in Cleveland? With Cleveland, man. It really is.
Like, Jameis, after we watched that game on Sunday, because I watch Red Zone every time, the Chiefs are obviously later on in the day, how they couldn't tell that, Winston is a better option than Deshaun Watson is just crazy.
Well, you're missing the point.
Watson! Yeah! No, I understand that, but it's man. Giants finally figured out, if you missed that news,
now they don't have to pay Daniel Jones. And you saw why they went with Tommy Cutlets over Drew Lock, right? All the incentives that Drew Lock could cash in on, a couple million in incentives.
Ain't
paying this guy anymore. We've already given him $5 million. We're going to let Cutlets go out here and see what he can do.
Stop talking about Cutlets, man. I just want a chicken Cutlet sandwich now. Boom, boom. Six booms. Got my damn Costco card this weekend. I'm excited. You said Tuesday's the day
you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Tuesday's the day they kind of restock everything at Costco.
I thought you were going to ask for
I got it early. See, now we can get him the Bonita Flats membership and still be good with that.
Yeah, I went over to watch the game with my stepdad because he was like, what do you want for Christmas? And I was like, to be honest with you, man, I want a Costco membership card. I got over there. He goes, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I was like, here we go.
You're getting older where the simple gifts that are just great. Like I said, the toothbrush heads for my electric toothbrush and socks.
We actually brought that up around our friends on Saturday at our friends' Thanksgiving. And we brought that up. I was like, yeah, Bob brought up a good point. For Christmas, like nowadays, I just want stuff that's going to benefit me. Like, I don't need the big gift or like stuff like that, which I know the Costco membership is like $100, big gift. But still, like, I don't need like, oh, I'd really love a new flat screen. It's like, you know what I'd really love? I love these Nike dry fit socks and I love, you know, I like wearing joggers. So that's all I need. Like, you know, whatever you want, like those can get expensive.
Yeah.
But it's like the daily things like toothbrush heads and, you know,
but think about the stuff that like makes your life easier that you don't have to go out and get. Right.
Yeah.
I got 12 or 24 toothbrush heads.
Right.
I have to worry about that. Ooh, you know what my wife gave me this year? 36 AA batteries for these headphones that I wear, right?
Yeah.
For the noise canceling. I don't have to worry about getting batteries. Like, you get older, you're like, just give me the practical stuff.
You go to wholesale batteries, Bob.
Thank you, Dustin.
Yeah.
The like laundry detergent would like if somebody gave you two big things of Tide Pods, that lasts you the whole year. You don't have to worry about getting toothpaste. Give me like 18 tubes of like stuff like that that you just never have to worry about going out and getting. It's a great Christmas gift.
Bonita Flats is one of my accounts. LOL. Wow. Love the old lady behind the bar.
Is it still a $10 membership for the year?
I don't know, but I'm doing the gold member to where like you get the money on the.
Oh yeah, you got the gold. You got the big one.
Doing it all.
Executive member. That's
that's what it is. Yep.
Yeah. You got the executive.
I got to go in there
for Bonita Flats or for Costco.
Hopefully all of it, man. About to eat 18 hot dogs a year now. Probably more than I've had in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but those are the gifts that are the best. It's
they are
the stuff that just makes your life easier. Socks, underwear, toothbrush heads.
Is the NFL like, is Costco the NFL of like stores?
Well, I would.
It's insanely popular. Everybody goes there. It gives you what you need, whether you're a Chiefs fan, whether you're a Bills fan, whether you're a Broncos fan, whatever it is. It's like everybody's got what they need there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it really does have everything.
Is Sam's Club a legit competitor?
I am not interested in talking about that place. Thank you, though.
Dusty, go to Costco today. Pre-made section. Huge meatball sub for $15. It's two meals. Pop it in the oven for a few minutes. You're welcome. Thank you.
Two?
I was going to say, probably like four. The taco meal is what I love at Costco.
Their taco kit is good. Yeah.
Speaking of Costco, as they control the narrative of grocery stores, retail stores, everything, the Chiefs still control the narrative.
I mean, where else can you get tires, pills, and a taco kit?
And gas.
I mean, tires, right? Tires, eyeglasses, pills.
What's the best thing to get at Costco? Their meat? Like their steaks? Because they've got the 4-pack of ribeyes, right?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Come back to me on
whatever
this
the
one.
Hell you cooked on Sunday was glorious.
My buddy Ralph gave me some burgers that he made.
Burgers, mushrooms,
jalapeno and cheddar burgers and brats that he made. He's
so
like, here, have these. I threw some mushrooms down as well. Mushrooms are good with everything. And then I made a big pot of sauce, right? I made tomato sauce. And my daughter's eating it like it's soup. She's like, this is so good.
Yeah, I mean, dad nailed it.
What do you put in it? Literally tomatoes, a little sugar. And the key is caramelizing the onions.
Yep.
And you got to let them cook for a long time. Get them really brown.
From our friend Jayhawk for Life, we'll actually be at this. Gaffigan's opening for Seinfeld.
Yeah, he is.
So we'll see that January 18th. So shout out to Jayhawk for Life for that reminder. Another reminder is I think that when you look at this loss against Buffalo, you have to understand, I think the Chiefs still control the narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of how they handled business early on. The first loss is Buffalo, although crucial because of tiebreakers in the future, but still have a game ahead of them, or maybe it's a half game, however you want to look at it. They go into this week with a bye. If I'm Buffalo, I'm kind of like, man, I don't really want to have a bye this week. We're rolling. We feel good. This is our big win against the Chiefs. They will come back off the bye and play the Niners, the Rams, and the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs' next three games are the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Chargers.
Now do the last three games.
I don't want to. I think it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Denver. Is that right?
Last, Houston. No, Houston,
yeah, Houston,
Pittsburgh, Denver. Pittsburgh, Denver.
Sandwiched in the middle of there.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And because the last three for Buffalo are Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah, not good.
That sucks.
We just need Drake May to be that guy.
Be that guy, brother.
Which we might need to start having a conversation about Drake May.
Do you like him?
I do. Yeah. I think he's fine. I think he had a little bit of a hiccup, but I saw some stuff in him yesterday where I'm like, you know what? Like, he might not be as bad as we thought he was.
I didn't hate the way he played yesterday.
No.
You know, again, that's watching Red Zone, so, right. You know, it's hard
to tell.
You're
seeing the highlights.
But, I mean, they could have gotten mollywopped yesterday by the Rams and didn't.
Yeah, they hung in there for a little bit. But I think that when I say have a conversation, I'm not ready to put him in the, you know, the third floor of the hotel suite of quarterbacks. But I think
he's better than Mac Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people better than Mac Jones. Yeah,
but, I mean, that's the guy that they had, you know, and they moved away from. Like, it was a smart move on their part.
Like, would you take Drake May or Bo Nix?
Probably Bo Nix.
Okay.
Yeah, Bo Nix. I've seen him obviously play more, has more of a track record, if you will, in the NFL.
Man bun Mac?
Drake May's just turned 22 years old. He's 3.5 years younger than Bo Nix and is playing this well with D-minus O-line, D-minus receivers.
That's what I was trying to get
at. I mean, yeah, like, to me, May has been incredible. I'm very excited about him.
But this guy, Bo Nix, has revitalized Denver, too.
Oh, yeah, Bo Nix has been great. Not to take anything away from him.
Yeah, I think, look, it's a conversation of, you know, hypotheticals because we 100%. Haven't seen enough of Drake May. Had Drake May been playing from day one,
exactly,
we have a different conversation. Maybe the Patriots are a better team. I don't know. I just hope he's good in two of the last three games that he plays this year.
Please.
Right? Like let Buffalo kind of, you know, slack a little bit and go punch him in the face. Mm-hmm. No way the Jets are beating Buffalo, right? Like, the Jets aren't winning another game this year, are they? What are they at?
I hope they lose out.
What are they, 3-7 now?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they lost again. They only have three wins.
So are they 3-7 or 3-8?
I think they're 3-8.
3-8?
I think I'll look it up.
No, they've had the bye week, haven't they?
I don't know. I'll look it up. I thought they were 3-7.
3-7?
Let's see.
We can get rid of seven losses.
They're 3-8.
They're 3-8.
3-8. It's done.
Yeah, they're done. So do you think they win another game? What'd you say? They were 1-5 since firing Robert Saleh? Jeez.
They are, yeah.
How many games have they won since acquiring Davante Adams? One?
Do the Jets win another game? You got to tell me, okay?
All right, run through the schedule.
Seahawks?
No.
Dolphins?
Where's the Seahawk game?
That is at New York.
No.
You're still out?
Yeah, they have a bye this week coming up.
The Jets have a bye this week.
They have a bye. There's a ton of teams of byes. There's actually there's six teams on a bye. Atlanta, New Orleans, Buffalo, Jets, Cincinnati, Jacksonville.
Wow. So late in the season.
Yeah, very late. And that's the last week of byes.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Dolphins.
No.
Jaguars.
Yes.
Ooh. At Jacksonville.
Yeah, that'll be their saving
the
grace.
Yeah.
That'll be their saving grace.
Hey, we beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, that'll be
after that, it's Rams, Bills, Dolphins.
Rams, Bills, Dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's not the last week for byes. There's no byes the following week, and then in 3 weeks, there's Baltimore, New England, Denver, Washington, Houston, Indianapolis.
What?
Boy, that is a tough week 14, six byes.
We got to change that.
Well, that's what happens when you add an extra week of the season.
Seriously.
Yep.
And then you've had some of these seasons or some of these weeks where you haven't, like Thanksgiving week doesn't have a bye, as you mentioned. There was that one week a couple of weeks ago that didn't have byes
yep.
and
yep.
whatnot, whatever.
So weird.
We mentioned this earlier, but for the first time, the Chiefs are not the consensus favorite in Vegas to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the first time in the history of their franchise, the Lions are. Think about that
for
a second.
They're plus 350 to win the Super Bowl.
Stealing money from everybody out there. Everybody be betting the Lions to win the Super Bowl now, right?
Yeah, I guess you could win a lot of money this year, if you just parlay the Chiefs and Lions every single week to hit the money line, just win money line Chiefs Lions, just bet money on that because they've only lost twice.
Could you win money though on that though? I mean,
if you bet enough over time and just consistently win, because like obviously the Chiefs weren't favorites this week because I think they were plus 110 on the money line this week, they'd have lost. But like if you parlay it together and it'll be like probably like I don't know. -120.
It'd still be minus money.
Oh,
think.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they play like Carolina and then Detroit plays, I don't know.
Yeah.
Green Bay. Nah, not Green
the Bears.
Bay. Yeah. There you go. It'd be like, you know, minus money, but you can still win money.
What if you parlayed that with the Jets, the Chiefs and Lions to win every game with the Jets
losing?
No, winning.
Oh, then you wouldn't win any money.
That's true. The Jets aren't going to win, but you would still have a massive plus number on that.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Because I think, let's see, who do the Lions play this week coming up? Is it Green Bay on Thursday? No. Who do they play this week? Let's see. They play at Indianapolis. They're 7.5-point favorites. Chiefs are 11.5-point favorites against Carolina. So to win money, you'd have to hope they both hit the spread. Probably that'd be plus money, but in all reality, there's like people say if you bet every day for Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run, you would win money because obviously the home run's harder to do to win the money line. But
and then do you roll it over every day? Like if you win, you start with five, then it's 10.
So somebody was bringing a good point this weekend about the Freddie Freeman playoff stretch, mm-hmm. that if you just kept taking your money and then taking the winnings and put it on another home run, you went up to like close to like $90,000.
Yeah, those revisionist bets are great because nobody's doing that in the moment, right? Oh, no. I hit one last night. No way. Oh, my God, he hit another. There's no way. Oh, my God, he hit three.
So this week, if you did the money line, minus 227, you'd win $4 if you bet 10. If you took the Chiefs and the Detroit money line. Now, if you took the spread, Chiefs minus 11, Lions minus 8 both, that's plus 267.
Yeah.
So if you think the Chiefs win by more than 11, obviously, or 11 or more, and you think the Lions can win by 8 or more on the road to Indianapolis, then it's plus 267 for that parlay.
Yeah, that still doesn't seem like a high enough.
The over-under in this game, this is hilarious for the Chiefs-Carolina as we look forward a little bit. The over-under in that game is 41, and the Chiefs are an 11-point favorite. So they just think, 24-3. That's what they're kind of thinking the game will be. It's 27 points. It's under. Man, it's I don't know if I bet that game at all, to be honest with you. Pittsburgh at Cleveland this week as well. That's another AFC North battle.
That's a battle there. Does Cleveland win this one?
Man, I don't know. That's your Thursday game this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's Thursday night. Something to watch. Obviously, tonight is Houston at Dallas. You could take the night off, Bob.
Yeah, no, I'll be watching the Manning cast tonight. Yeah.
That's a good night to watch that you bring that up. That's the game to watch.
This is the type of game you watch the Manning cast. Yeah, Houston at Dallas, meh.
I don't know if you need Aikman and Buck to tell you what's going on against Dallas.
No.
But it is going to be in Dallas, so I'm interested to see how many shots of Jerry Jones we get of just morbid disappointment.
Oh, God. I hope Houston goes in there and just destroys him because, he doesn't want to lose to another Texas team.
No.
But he did count $18 million from that fight the other night, so he's doing all right.
I was going to say, he won a lot of money off that fight, didn't he?
Yeah. $18 million in the gate. Jeez. $18 million they made in filling that stadium up to watch that grift. I mean, just an absolute grift.
Golly.
How many people do you think would have paid for that fight had it been an actual pay-per-view and not a Netflix event?
Because
they said 60 million streamed it. What do
you
think?
About as many people probably paid for that UFC fight for Jon Jones?
Which is what?
I don't know.
What does that normally get?
I mean, a lot.
Does it?
Because they powder keg on the bars that buy it. So, when they buy it, they buy it for every device they own at the bar. At least I've heard that. So, that's like a point and all that for what I don't know how that works, to be honest with you. But so many people just stream things these days without paying for it, obviously. Yeah. So, man,
I just didn't know what that would compare to if it was on pay-per-view. Would you have paid $49.99 to watch that? No.
No.
Hell no. So that's minus 3 right there.
Yep, you're done. I think the only pay-per-view I've ever paid for was Ken Shamrock versus Tito Ortiz, and it was over in 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, never doing that again.
Yeah. No. But see, back in the day, that's all the boxing matches where you had a pay-per-view. So you got together with people, you rented a TV, and you watched that stuff, and you got excited about it. Now it's on Netflix, which basically I think there's 260 million Netflix subscribers worldwide. So essentially everybody has Netflix or an illegal stream. Nobody's paying the $49.99 to watch a fight like that. You just wouldn't even consider it. The fact that it was on Netflix helped to get 60 million people.
Yes. That's the only reason I watched. And I honestly, it was just FOMO. I just felt like I was FOMOed into it.
What did you miss out on though?
Nothing.
Fun of Netflix, right?
Yeah, I guess
Friday
that's
Night
it.
Lights.
Mocking Netflix. That's
seeing
the only
Mike Tyson's
thing.
Ass. That was about it. Yeah.
Other than that, you were there for the party because we were like, oh, Netflix sucks. And then the low hanging fruit of the NFL is going to get screwed.
When that was it.
We're not going to get that many viewers for the NFL as the 60 million for Netflix. So,
Yeah. Chiefs lose 30-21. Doesn't really matter, in my opinion. Sometimes to me, a loss can be at times better than a win. Because what happens if the Chiefs win that game with the Bills? What happened? What do you think everybody's saying? There we go. Beat Buffalo. Congratulations.
Beat Buffalo, best team in the NFL, no question.
Right.
It's just the national narrative that's completely different than anything, really.
Speaking of the national narrative, Max said that we were right. I'll explain what he's right about when we get to our brioche of the weekend on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Man Bun Mac.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back in, we'll get to our brioche of the weekend here in a second on 96.5 The Fan with Fesco, Dusty, and Mac. On a Monday, do you think this one flew by today?
Oh, yeah, it did, actually, I think,
Yeah.
after a loss for, you know, the better part of we haven't had one of these since Christmas. So, yeah, I think everybody's in a good spot, though, too. I think that's good. We've kind of this is one of the better, like, advancements as a fan base, I think, I've seen in a while. Because normally after a regular season loss, people are losing their minds. Anybody that texts me yesterday, I'm losing their minds over this. I didn't even respond to yesterday. Like, I just
double tap thumbs up.
Gone. See you later. Like, not even acknowledging that kind of stuff. Because there are a couple of, you know, wackadoodles out there who think the sky is falling on a 2-time Super Bowl champion that's going for a three-peat. But anyway, the Chiefs did lose, but they scored 21 points, and that means today only you get 21 cents off a gallon at Hy-Vee when you spend $21 or more. So today's the day you stock up on your gas points. Go to Hy-Vee. My daughter's already texting me what she wants at Hy-Vee today because she knows I go on Monday. And so some drink called the Bubbler or something like that.
I've got a Bubbler, but you don't drink it.
Yeah, well, it's some sort of drink the kids like.
If you
like
drink
today.
It, buckle up.
Yeah, right. So I got to go get that today, but spend $21 or more, you'll save 21 cents at Hy-Vee today. Nice. Only at all of your area Hy-Vees.
Monday, 9:45, Brioche of the Weekend.
Brioche of the Weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah. Good take.
Bob? I'm going to give my brioche of the weekend to the Kansas City Current. I know they didn't win yesterday, but talk about an inaugural season in a new stadium that was great. You know, about a year ago, they got rid of a lot of their star players. The fans were upset. They restocked the team, and then they won how many straight games at the beginning of the season in that brand new stadium to go all the way to the Final Four. So I just want to give a shout out to the Current for having one hell of a season and showing us that as fans, we're stupid and they know what they're doing, you know, when it comes to stocking these teams with great players. And what a great experience for the first year of CPKC Stadium. They got some parking things, obviously, they need to figure out and whatnot, and they will. But I'm going to tell you what, that stadium has been awesome. The atmosphere was electric all season down there.
Great
concessions were great.
Sport.
Everything was fantastic. So tip of the cap to the KC Current for one hell of a first season in that new stadium.
And they got their like Tyreek Hill and Shoinga. Like that girl's just amazing. Yeah. Dude. They just like give her a through ball and nobody gets close.
I know,
and, like,
it's crazy how fast
she led the league in scoring, has the most goals ever. Good season for them.
Yeah, really nice year for them.
That's great. My brioche of the weekend. I'm ready to embrace the hate. How about them Colorado Buffaloes? But not because of the win. Because Colorado's legendary fan, Peggy, got to celebrate her 100th birthday with a big win, and the entire stadium serenaded her with happy birthday.
That was cool.
It's awesome.
That was really cool.
Brioche of the weekend.
Yeah,
there. You know how
great.
We end the show, do nice things.
Yeah.
That lady never seen something like that in 100 years.
Yeah, that was awesome for her.
Colorado hasn't been relevant in 100 years.
Right, now they are.
And now they play Kansas at Arrowhead this weekend. So if anybody has a free ticket.
I'm sure you can find a ticket to that.
I'm not paying $100 for that game.
Is that really what they're charging?
What Alex said, I was like, get into your phone with your KU alum, bud.
$100?
Like, yeah.
Everybody's peacocking around Laura. Oh, look, they beat. Yeah, like too little too late, man. Like you pooped the bed the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they're playing spoiler. But yeah, no, I mean, it's nice. And now they have a chance to win the Big 12. That could be a really fun Big 12 championship game between BYU and Colorado.
Mm-hmm. KU.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can continue to try to play spoiler and spoil Colorado's dreams this weekend. I know that's what Alex thinks. But
they're kind of still alive for the playoff, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You get the opportunity. And I think, how could you not want Colorado in the college football playoff?
That's what I was saying. Matt goes, you know what? You guys are right. It is important for Colorado to win for the sport of college football. I was like, thank you.
It's huge. It's huge.
Did you see Warren Sapp?
Yes.
He has a mohawk.
Yes.
It was just going absolutely nuts with a chaw in his mouth. Oh, man.
Yep.
Warren Sapp was out there just getting the troops ready. Dion's got that Kris Kringle beard going. Man.
No, the team's way better than I thought and way better than they looked.
The defense got better, and they started blocking better for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And they have the best player in the country in Travis Hunter. Can we still have that conversation? Does he play receiver or corner in the NFL?
Well, that's my brioche of the weekend, is the best Heisman race in years.
Yeah.
We're watching the best Heisman race. I won't say my lifetime. I'd have to think about it a little closer than that. But
the Heisman has not been relevant in so long.
It hasn't.
It
hasn't.
It really
at all.
Hasn't.
This
know?
Is the Lincoln Riley Award.
And this is finally. This is exactly now. This is finally a talking point. I saw someone tweet is like, best running back Ashton Dinty, best wide receiver this, best corner this guy, person who's played all the most snaps in the whole college football. Travis Hunter. It's like, okay, maybe he should really be considered because of the snap guy. Like, he is so important to his... There's no one more important to a team than Travis Hunter.
But I don't see how anybody can get the nod over him when he plays both sides of the ball effectively like he does, and more than effectively. Like, that's just a bad term to use. He's really good.
I'd like to know how many votes Desmond Howard got when he won it. Was that who it was? Or no? Charles Woodson. When Charles Woodson won it and he was playing both sides and he hit the famous Heisman pose in the end zone for Michigan, I wonder if it was like a slam dunk that he won it. Like, and now here we are, 2024. We're like, well,
what if Travis Hunter was playing at Alabama? There'd be no question he's the undisputed Heisman Trophy candidate, right?
Is he the favorite right now?
Or if he was playing at Ohio State, there'd be no question he's the undisputed. But because he's playing at Colorado, which isn't a premier program, and he's playing for Deion Sanders, which everybody wants to, try to still knock down and say it's no good, I think that factors in. If he was playing at a different school, if he was playing at Michigan or Texas or someplace like that, I think people would be celebrating him more. But I do think there's a loud portion of the college sports fans who don't want to see Deion Sanders have success because it is different. It is nothing like they've seen before. And quite frankly, it probably scares a lot of people with the way that he's doing it, which is going in there and paying dudes. But that's the way college sports is now. Like, Deion Sanders has embraced what college sports is, and there's still people trying to hold on for dear life,
To be fair, Ashton Dinty was doing something we hadn't seen since 1988 and Barry Sanders as well. He's still on that streak.
But also playing for Boise State.
Well, but you're using your own argument against it. We're not going to give a negative for someone just because he's,
but
if he was
the competition
at Alabama,
who's the competition? Like, Boise State is a rung below Colorado.
That's a guy that runs like 150 a game and has like two touchdowns.
He has not ran for less than 135 yards and two touchdowns yet.
But he's playing like Northwestern State.
Not his fault.
He ran for over 100 yards and a touchdown against Oregon this season. But I get you. Yeah, the competition's not there. He is plus 350, Travis Hunter minus 330. So after the Saturday, it's pretty much done.
It's almost over. Because Cam Ward lost it when he lost that game to Georgia Tech.
You're done.
Yeah. Which he's going to be a fun guy to watch develop in the NFL.
I've never seen someone like him. Just so relaxed. Looks like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, though. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think, because I was having a conversation with my friend Brian over the weekend about Travis Hunter, and I was like, he made a good point that he's a corner in the NFL, and then he plays like 10 offensive snaps where he's like the gadget guy, where it's like you could play him like they play Deion, Deion played what, like maybe like an average of like 5 to 7 offensive plays, but had plays
hardly
developed
ever on
really
offense.
So it was hardly ever.
He was never on offense, like return kicks and whatnot, but never he was never lining up at wide receiver. But I don't know if he was as good as Travis Hunter. We never saw Deion play wide receiver.
Because what, he's probably, I'm just guessing here, Travis Hunter's probably 6'1".
Feels tall, but I'll look it up.
I know, I was going to say, probably not. Probably like 5'11", 6 foot.
Yeah.
Because at what, most
they list him at 6'1".
Okay.
There we go.
So he's about 5'11".
Exactly. That's so true.
Michael Beasley was 6'9" in college, and he was, or no, he was 6'10", almost 7 feet in college. He got to the NBA Combine, and he was 6'7".
Yeah, 6'7".
What are we doing here?
Yeah, no, they lie about that kind of stuff, which is fine. I don't really care. Do you play big? And he plays big. He's a big-time player.
Well, that's the thing, too. You could say the same thing about Shador Sanders. Like, he's not massively big, but he plays bigger than he is.
Yeah.
Cam Ward, same way.
Right. Does that translate into the NFL, though? Can you be a smaller guy and play big? I don't know. I don't know if that, especially at the quarterback position, wide receiver position, why everybody's 7 foot tall now.
So Manny Cast tonight's what we're watching?
Yeah, that's what I'll be watching probably tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
What's on the menu? Leftovers?
Yeah, whatever's left over, probably.
I love a good leftover night.
Yeah.
No?
No. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Woo.
Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, as we tell you every day that we do this show. Go do something nice for somebody you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, and today, stay dry. Coming up next, Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2 on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.